Ed, a good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for being on board. Glad to have you with us here on a Thursday afternoon. We appreciate the God's goodness and grace. And again, glad you've taken time out of your day to be with us. And we do appreciate folks that occasionally along the way, we'll talk to someone and they'll recognize, you know, and say they listen. And we never get tired of hearing that, because most of the time, radio is done in a room and you might see one or two people, but for the most part, you don't see an audience. And so we are glad to know that you're out there. Thank you so very much. Well, I hope you had a good day. We do appreciate the mercy of the Lord. We are in Studio C, and my middle name is Collinwood, and so we nicknamed it because we've got A and B, so this is Studio C. So I guess today Christy was in Studio J for Johnson, or Studio K for Christy, I'm not sure. But our team has been touched by Omicron. And so we are all having to scatter and do the best we can. And so Christy and her family, they have a case of it. And so she was exposed. And then I've been exposed. One of my interns came down with it on Monday, tested Tuesday. And then I had another one test today and was positive. And so we have had a spread within the team. So now I have two that have it. The good news is that we don't have many that haven't had it. Most of them have had it. And so we are, you know, and it has not been too awfully bad for some. But as you just heard the obituary, of course, it is what took Brother Ben Owens' life. And so, and the complications from COVID. So we are certainly asking you to pray. We have two still in critical condition on ventilators. One maybe had just a little bit of hope today, but still way too soon to be optimistic. And they're asking folks continue to pray. And I'm talking about folks. They can't be 50. If they're 50, it'd be just right at 50. They couldn't be 50. So it could be much older than that. So anyway, we certainly appreciate you taking time to pray. I hope that you have a prayer list, and I hope that you add these folks to your list. And then we have others that are in the hospital with complications. And while the trend seems to be trending down somewhat, that does not mean that it's not as contagious as it ever was. And it is one of the most contagious things that has ever been seen on planet Earth. One microbiologist said that the entire human race will have it before it's over. And he said there's not a whole lot we can do about it, except maybe, if the Pfizer has now said they're at the testing stage with their booster that specifically fights Omicron. And then, of course, there's a pill. We'll talk about that. But, it's not real optimistic. I'll just be fair with you. Let's take a quick look at traffic. It looks pretty optimistic, unless you're waiting to get up on the bridge. It's backed up past Haywood Road this afternoon, out toward Amboy, trying to get up on the bridge. Coming around Asheville westbound, your normal traffic. Other than that, we're slower than usual, but it's in the construction zones on I-26 eastbound, but traffic is moving. No backups, delays much. On 25A, the 191 looks good. Did you hear them today talking about they're now doing the easements and are going to be letting the bids to widen 191 to four lanes? All I can say is hallelujah. I wish they would do it for five lanes, truthfully. Seriously, they need to do it five lanes, not four. And it's that, so you'd have that turning lane, you know, it's that critical. All right, and it is one of the critical corridors. And of course, it's not been that many years ago. They widened 25 and made a corridor, a four-lane corridor, all the way into Asheville. And so, and of course, they've started widening 25A from the Asheville end, but then it narrows back down to two lanes. But when 26 goes down, we really don't have any alternatives but 191 and 25, 25A. That's all there is to get around it. So glad that they're at least looking at it. The gorge looks good today. No issues there. If we drop off the mountain, you got your normal problems in Greenville, but nothing too particularly interesting, to be honest with you, this afternoon. All right, as we look at temperatures from around the area, we are right now, Asheville is reporting 44 degrees, 44, and that was a few minutes ago, and so I've got 41 here. And the weather is the real topic of discussion. It's going to be a cold weekend, and it's going to be a wintry start to it. But I will say that the National Weather Service is holding pretty fast to their no snow accumulation forecast. Now, when you look at some of the other things, and we've been studying them very closely, and as you look at some of these other things, you quickly realize that the Weather Channel and some others, they're not quite as optimistic. They're a little more pessimistic. They're saying some accumulation possible. And here's the thing that doesn't really line up with the National Weather Service. The Department of Transportation, North Carolina DMV, spent I don't know how many thousand dollars today treating the highways in the southern mountains and the main corridors. Yeah, they did the brine mixture. And there's a couple of questions about that. Number one, the forecast is for rain. All right. And it's a 60% chance of rain. Well, most folks know that when it rains, it washes the brine back off the roadway and it washes it into the creek. And so that's not a good thing if you're expecting rain. But then secondly, if it's not going to accumulate on the roads, why did we pre-treat? So, good question. So maybe the DMV knows things that the National Weather Service doesn't. They do have their own meteorologist, as do the utilities and others, and we do as well. And so I think it has a lot to do with where you are. It has a lot to do with elevation this time. And but everybody's going to, whether you see the, we'll see the wintry snow falling, and it may even look blizzardy at times. But it's the cold that's really the message. That's where we need to talk about. Now, down on the East Coast, this is the third weekend that they've got winter storm warnings up, three times in a row. Yeah, they got our big one, and then they got the one last week that missed us, and now they got a bigger one than we do this week. This is a nor'easter, and it's going to affect the coastal area more than us. So I don't know what the eastern North Carolina is going to do, because I'm sure that their snow budget was exhausted the first snow. Yeah, and so I don't know. They just don't have a lot of equipment for that. But here's what's going to happen here in the southern mountains, according to the National Weather Service. Increasing clouds tonight with a low around 28. Tomorrow, rain likely beginning around 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Increasing clouds with a high near 44. Light and variable wind, chance of precipitation 60%, new precipitation amounts of a tenth of an inch possible, and this is liquid. For Friday night, a 30% chance of snow, mainly before 11 p.m. Cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy with a low around 14, north wind 7 to 9 with gust as high as 23, little or no snow accumulation is expected. Saturday, sunny, the high will not break freezing. 28, but a northwest wind around 10 mile an hour gusting to 25 will keep the wind chill and down in the single digits. On Saturday night, clear, low around 14, that northwest wind still present around 6 miles an hour, and then warming back above freezing on Sunday for the first time around 43. So right now is the last time we'll see 40s. We'll see it tomorrow during the day, and then we won't see it again until Sunday. Yeah, it's going to be a very cold one. And we've got, looks like showers moving in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But right now it looks like the temperatures are high enough that it's going to be mostly rain. is the way that it's looking. Do you realize that it's going to be cold? It's going to be in the 30s all the way down to the tip of Florida. The first time that they will see 30s since 2010, 12 years since Miami has seen 39 degrees. So everybody heading south to escape the cold, but it followed them this time. Yeah. Still not as cold as we thought it was going to be. It still didn't sag as far as fast as we were afraid it was going to. They were predicting colder temperatures than this about a week ago. So we're glad that that it didn't get any colder than it is. But it's still going to be the coldest nights of the season. Listener's portion today is sponsored anonymously by one of our missionaries celebrating the 58 years of marriage, and they've spent 48 years of those on the mission field. And we salute this brother and sister, and they didn't want their name mentioned, but we want to say happy anniversary. God bless you. The network today is being sponsored by Randy and Margaret Kemp in honor of Brother Stan Edcock and Brother Randy Bain. And thankfulness to them for praying for Brother Randy Kemp before he was saved. We say amen to that and appreciate Randy and Margaret today. God bless you. But today we're praying for, on our 40 days of prayer, we're praying for the listeners to be blessed and ministered to during the upcoming Share-a-thon. Our birthdays today, Jill Fowler, our own Karen Fox, Mr. Tony Vaughn of Vaughn's Heating and Cooling, Mr. Jerry Lively, Preacher Jerry, appreciate him today, and Forrest Johnson, all celebrating today. God bless you, and I wish you many, many more. Let's take a quick look at our at who's online with us today, and these are just on the app. If they're on anything else, we can't see them. But our salutes go out to Akron, Asheville, Augusta, Brevard, Charlotte, Fairfield, Fort Mill, Franklin, Gaffney, Greenville, Hendersonville, Joplin, Kies, Germany, Lexington, Logan, Madison, Morrisville, Ottawa, Ontario, Picayune, Ridgeland, Roanoke Hills, Rock Hill, San Jose. I see Europe in the mix. And let's see if I can come up with anybody else. No, it don't want to go any further down. Weaverville and Van Wert, that's in Ohio, and West Berlin. All right, thank you. Glad to have you all with us here this afternoon and appreciate you joining us. We sure do. 577-1296, and I don't know if it's working or not. Yeah, it is. 521. I see it. Appreciate 4412. God bless Israel, Pastor Barton, and Anchor Broadcasting. Let me just mention, I mentioned as I was leaving the air yesterday that there were four veterans in the VA system in Arkansas that died yesterday. And all four of those were unvaccinated. And I wanted to mention that for whatever reason, and I understand how ivermectin works. And while theoretically ivermectin should be, it destroys the protein, and so it should work. But there was one of these veterans that died yesterday in Arkansas, had been home treating himself with it and waited too late and died. Yeah, he died in the VA system yesterday in Arkansas. So, I'm not against it. I'm just saying it's not foolproof, you know. And so I think it kind of goes along with everything else that has to do with COVID. You know, you can't get too dogmatic about it, because if you do, it'll prove you a liar. You know, it's just the way it is. If you get very dogmatic on anything, you'll have to back up, and because there'll be, facts that'll come down the line that'll say, you'll have to say, oops, didn't know that, or, you know, didn't know about that. And so, yeah, just the nature of the beast. As we look at our situation with COVID, in North Carolina, we had, let me see here. Okay, this is vaccinations, and I don't want vaccinations. I am looking for statistics, yes, but I'm not looking for vaccinations. What am I looking for? Okay, well, not sure why it won't let me get back out to where I need to be. And so, nope, that's not what I want. Nope, I'm not interested in that one. And while I'm here, though, I will tell you that in the United States, there are about 210 million now that are fully vaccinated, which is about 63.8%, almost two-thirds of the population are vaccinated. In North Carolina, we're behind that, and we're only running about 58.3% of the population is vaccinated. Okay, so if I can get back to our statistics here, and don't seem to be able to for whatever reason, it just does not want to cooperate here this afternoon. I may have just stumbled across it. I think I have. Yeah. Okay. So when we are looking at the latest numbers in North Carolina, we're at 2.35 million cases, and we had 20,205 new ones yesterday. In North Carolina, we've had 20,531 deaths, and 110 of those died yesterday. And our numbers continue to, they continue to grow, and we're continued. And Wake County is by far the most, has the most of anybody. But Buncombe County had 510 new cases yesterday, and two people died. That was just yesterday. When I roll down to Haywood County, 174 new cases yesterday. Henderson County, 280 new cases yesterday. Jackson County had 99 new cases yesterday. Macon had 60 new. Madison had 35. McDowell had 144. But Charlotte, 1,983 new cases and had 11 deaths yesterday, just in Charlotte alone. I was looking here right quick. Polk County got 24 new cases yesterday. Also, Transylvania County, 60 new cases yesterday. Swain had 35 new cases. And look at one more. Yancey County, they had 5 new cases yesterday. So is it still moving? It is. It is. It's still moving. And it's a sad thing. And, you know, you think about, I mean, you think about 20,000 people dying. You know, that's a lot of folks. That is a lot of folks any way that you turn it. Also, I think we broke a new record. What's the date today? I just gave it. What's the date today? The 27th? Okay. Yeah. So that is correct. I was questioning myself here. So let me go back to it. We have set a new record today as far as number of people hospitalized. We have 5,158 people in the hospital in North Carolina today. We have 28,753 new cases. And of all those being tested, we're running at about 30.1% daily positive rate. So that's quite a lot. I was trying to find the hospitalizations. Somebody had asked about those yesterday. But what I was trying to find is the hospitalizations with that had their shots, and I've not yet been able to bring up that. I can't find that. Okay. So 5,158 people currently hospitalized. We have 808 in the COVID patients in intensive care in North Carolina. And that number is actually not the highest. It's close to the highest, but it's not the highest. I think the highest occurred 822. That was on the 20th. That was the highest day for ICU. When you look at number of people on ventilators, that has actually come down again a little bit. So, let me go back. And the percentage of adult patients in ICU, it's about 10% statewide. Okay. And So it's 16% statewide. The percentage of patients in ICU on ventilators is running about 10%. And then if you look at children that are hospitalized, it is running 2.3% of hospitalized patients. Only about 2.3% are children. So it is definitely taking the, it's definitely still the older population, or the adult population still. We have 2,300 ventilators in the state. We're currently using 1,333 is what it says here, which I don't think that matched the number I had a while ago. Intensive care beds in use, 1,948, and there's only like 268 staffed empty beds left in the state. And if you look at total inpatient, there are 16,726 people in the hospital statewide, and there's about 3,500 beds that are staffed and that are not full right now. Yeah. So anyway, that's where we are. Let's change gears and let's talk for a minute about the cold weather. The one thing that happens every time we get a cold snap like this is that we have water freeze, and a whole lot of folks they don't have the ability to crawl up under their house and get it thawed out. It takes a whole lot more to get it thawed out than it does to keep it from freezing. And the reason I know, I have been up under the house all afternoon. And so we had some plumbing repair, and I had to go under there and redo a bunch of insulation, and I've been working on some pipe insulation and some other insulation. Bottom line, if air can get to a pipe, it's going to freeze. And so the pipes have to be wrapped, and they have to, the dogs can't have torn it out off of them. They have to be wrapped, or you're going to have some sort of heat tape on it, or you're going to have some type of light, some type of heat source to keep your pipes from freezing. And by the way, when they freeze, they also typically will bust. And so when it freezes up, then when it does come back on, you're going to have a flood, because most of the time it will bust the fittings or break something and crack it when it freezes, because when it freezes, it expands. So a couple of things that you can do. You try to close off all the air as much as possible. Another thing, like if you've got a well head or you've got an area that's subject to freeze, you can take a light bulb, and not an LED. LEDs don't put off any heat or a minimal amount. You want an old-fashioned light bulb. You say, well, how do I know? Screw it in or check a lamp, and if it's, you can't touch it, it's an old-fashioned light bulb. As a matter of fact, that's how I tested them today. I'd screw them in, and they immediately get hot in my hand. I knew they were regular light bulbs. LEDs don't do that. They'll get a little warmer down on the base, but nothing like a regular light bulb. But you need a regular light bulb. And somebody said, how big? Well, it depends on how big of an area do you need to, how big of an area do you need to keep warm? And obviously, if you can shine something on the pipe, that'll help it, or in the well house or in the well head or whatever it is. Also, depending on your septic arrangement, you can let the water drip. But that's, that can be counterproductive too. If you, well, it just depends. You know, if you've got city water, then, you know, you're going to pay more for the water and more for the sewer bill. But if you are on a well, then you've got your septic tank you have to think about. But if you will let the water drip, not a stream, but just a steady drip, not a fast drip even, but a steady drip. So I said, well, what does that do? Well, the groundwater here, even in the middle of January, the mean temperature here in the mountains, I think, is 45. And I'd have to double check that, but I believe I'm right. And so 45 degree water is not going to freeze. But once it gets above the ground and gets in a pipe, it will freeze. So if you continue to bring water up out of the ground at that, you know, 45 degree temperature or whatever your well water is, then it will, you know, keep the water from freezing. And the same principle that creeks and other things, you know, it takes a lot to get them to freeze over. It takes a great deal to get a spring to freeze over. They do, but it's got to get really, really cold because that water's so warm when it comes out of the ground. So in relationship to the atmosphere. So at any rate, just some tips that you know, might think about. Also, if you are in a mobile home, just remind you that most mobile homes, the way they're built, they put the water lines down the ductwork under the floor. And the premise is that as long as you run your furnace, you're good, and it'll keep your water from freezing. The problem is that a lot of people don't run their furnaces. They run kerosene heaters. They run some type of little buddy or portable heater of some type. Well, in turn, that does not keep those water lines warm under the floor. And so it also can cause your water to freeze in a mobile home. Also, if there's been any interruption in your insulation underneath, you know, mobile homes are different. They insulate everything. They put the ductwork in, they put the pipe in, they put everything in. Then they put a layer of insulation under the trailer on this black plastic. So it's like a big quilt hanging under the trailer. Well, when you move them, that gets ripped. When the dogs get under there, they can rip it out. Or if you've had any kind of work done, that will also cause you issues. And so the best thing to do is try to get insulation and stop up the holes. But I will say this, anything's better than nothing. And so if you're not capable of doing insulation, put something up. You know, anything that you've got, it helps. Remind you that wet insulation has no insulation value. So if it's wet, it's no good. You know, it's got to be dry. And that's true with whatever you use to insulate with. I've seen people take a blanket and cover their well head. Well, that might work, except when it gets wet, it actually can have a negative R value and can make the well colder than warmer. So yeah, you need whatever it is, you need to keep it dry and you need to keep the air from getting to your pipes, okay? And so, I do see you, Brian. I've got 60 seconds, all right, is what I'm showing. And so, all right, well, I want folks to, this will be a good weekend to hunker down. It's gonna be very, very cold to be out and about both on Friday night and all day Saturday. And again, Saturday night, it's going to be a tough time to be out and about. And so I hope folks will stay in. Can we pray together? Lord, we pray and ask you for these that are on ventilators, these that are struggling for breath, these that are struggling for life. Lord, you'd touch them, that you'd help them. Lord, that you'd give them an opportunity to live. And then Lord, we pray for all these that are sick. Lord, you know each need. Lord, we pray for those that are sin sick today. Lord, would you touch them and help them and save them by your amazing grace. Lord, we thank you for your love to us. And Lord, thank you for all you've given and for all you've forgiven. We ask, Lord, you'd help us in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much for being on board. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Till we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you is our prayer.